Endocrine therapy is another very interesting area, I think, in which we can actually be able to test out new combinations of endocrine therapies in a neoadjuvant setting. In the United States, it's been very hard to do neoadjuvant endocrine studies, primarily based, I believe, on a bias of oncologists that they need to see massive tumor shrinkage over a short period of time. But elegant work done by Mitch Dowsett and others have shown that you can use surrogate markers like proliferation markers measured by Ki-67. And a decrease in Ki-67 in week 4 is actually a very good indicator of long-term outcome. And patients that show a decrease in Ki-67 are those who basically respond to the endocrine therapy. An earlier study, which is the ATAC study, which was a 9,000-patient study, patients were randomized to receive Arimidex or anastrozole versus tamoxifen or the combination of anastrozole and tamoxifen. And a very similar study, which was done in the Royal Marsden under Mitch Dowsett, essentially was a much smaller, several hundred-patient study. And it was called the IMPACT study, which randomized, again, to the similar three arms, Arimidex versus tamoxifen versus the combination. And in that study, Ki-67 was markedly decreased in the Arimidex group versus the tamoxifen group. And the combination of Arimidex and tamoxifen was not better than tamoxifen alone. So basically, had we known the results of the IMPACT study, the ATAC study would have been designed in a very different sort of way. So a much better approach, I think, in the future when we design these adjuvant studies is can we actually add in a component in the neoadjuvant setting, very much like the IMPACT ATAC story. And so we're thinking of doing a study which is now going through the IRB, where we are postmenopausal ER-positive patients will receive Arimidex versus Arimidex plus Faslodex to see whether or not Faslodex can decrease Ki-67. And I believe that this will lead to future adjuvant studies in the same sort of way.
Can you talk about the rationale for combining those two agents?
They work in a completely different way. So basically, Arimidex essentially lowers serum estradiol level. So you're talking about, in a sense, removing the ligand, while Faslodex works by degrading the estrogen receptor. And so if you think about it, it would be rational that the combination thereof would be more effective than either agent alone. And in animal models, especially by work done by Angela Brody, this is indeed the case. This has not been shown we have not yet demonstrated this, and there are ongoing metastatic studies in postmenopausal ER-positive breast cancer patients, but the results are not yet available.
Lisa, there's been a lot of work in neoadjuvant endocrine therapy in Europe, but relatively little done in the United States. Do you see that changing?
I do actually see that changing. I think there's sort of two parts of it. One is that the backbone of therapy in the United States, I think, tends to be chemotherapy, and the backbone of therapy in Europe traditionally was probably more hormonally based. I think the fact is that the early hormonal trials reported relatively modest response rates for neoadjuvant endocrine therapy, somewhere in the 50%-ish range, 50-60%, whereas chemotherapy trials were reporting response rate in the 80% range. And so there was a bias that you saw higher response rate to chemotherapy than to neoadjuvant endocrine therapy, which fit into a clinical bias that endocrine therapy tended to work more slowly than chemotherapy. I think as we've gotten smarter, we realize that part of that may be the biology of the cancer as opposed to the effect of the drug, in that there are randomized studies, and Semi Glazov and his colleagues presented an AI versus chemotherapy approach about a year or two ago, in which really you see among hormonally, if you think of it, endocrine receptor positive patients, really modest effect of chemotherapy, and the response rates were not significantly different. We've done some work with this with anthracycline and taxane-based chemotherapy, and clearly the luminal subtypes have a significantly lower response rate to just AC than either the HER2 or the basal-like subtypes. And the group at MD Anderson has done the same kind of analysis with TFAC. So I think we recognize now that the biology of ER-positive breast cancer is very different, and the response to chemotherapy is very different. I think that gets to also the role of the recurrence score, for example, and some of the kind of ability to try and figure out who within a ER-positive group may in fact be benefiting from the addition of chemotherapy. But from the standpoint of neoadjuvant endocrine therapy, I think that there is growing recognition that probably neoadjuvant endocrine therapy optimally delivered is probably about as good as chemotherapy in this particular group. And so some of the bias, the historical bias, I think may fall away.